You're listening to the Hove Vineyard podcast. To find out more about the Hove Vineyard Church, go to hovevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning. I'm Alison Johnson and I'm part of the team here. Today I'm going to be reading from Luke 12 on the great banquet. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just brought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' Sir, the servant said, 'What you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Thank you, Alison. Well, good morning. Good morning. Huge welcome to you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Josh. I have the privilege of being part of the team here at church. And what an amazing morning so far. Are you guys doing well? You are a rowdy bunch this morning, which I am thoroughly enjoying. And before we start and I dig into the passage, let me tell you a story just a couple of weeks old. Some of you will know that at our evening service, we are going through a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And how many of you know that when we take God at his word, when we take risks and step out of the boat, when we pursue God and step into these things, miracles begin to happen. And an atmosphere of faith breeds supernatural activity and God speaks and people are impacted. And we are seeing that a lot in our services and gathered environments. And a couple of weeks ago at our evening service, I was speaking on words of knowledge, supernatural revelation that God gives, details about people's lives. And I was doing the talk, halfway through the talk, and I felt a name come into my head, and it was the name Sandra. And I thought, maybe this is a word from the Lord. So I just tentatively suggested to the room, hey, I kind of get a sense that there's someone here who the name Sandra connects with, and maybe it's a family member, maybe your mum, but they're struggling right now, they're sick maybe. Is that for anyone? And I wish I could tell you that it went down really well and people stood up and came to the front weeping, but the room was silent, no one. Which I don't mind, because it's a good opportunity, a teaching moment to say sometimes when we step out of the boat, sometimes when we step out in faith, we try something, we take a risk, it doesn't work out. But that, I think, is still a moment to be celebrated when we take a risk. So it's a good opportunity. I looked a bit silly, but it's not a big deal at all. The night goes on, and at the end of the evening with ministry time, I had a whole bunch of people come on the stage and practice giving words of knowledge, hearing from the Lord and sharing words. And There were a whole load of people that gave words. We had words about nut allergy, an egg allergy, a heart condition, fear of flying, and many more. And during the ministry time, a lot of people came forward and received from God. It was powerful. And afterwards, a girl comes up to me. She says, I was too nervous to come forward tonight, but that, you know, God spoke to me tonight through the words of knowledge. I said, well, which word of knowledge was for you? And she said, well, I have a nut allergy, I have an egg allergy, I have a heart condition, I have a fear of flying, and my close friend called Sandra messaged me this morning saying that she's having a crisis, can I pray? Isn't that awesome? And I was like, and you didn't come to the front for prayer. I later found out that there were two or three more words that were given for this girl, and by the end of the night, three people came up to me saying, Sandra was for me. One of them said it was my grandma called Sandra and she was diagnosed yesterday with dementia. And so I look silly, but God spoke. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. Amen. Lots more stories to share, but we're in a series on mission at the minute. We are trying to build a culture in our community where, like the book of Acts, people get added to our number daily. Isn't that what we want to see, church? We want to see our city get saved and come alive in Jesus, responding to the good news of the gospel. And I believe that if we want to see revival in our time, if we want to see every home reached and every person invited home, we have to be a people who go, right? We have to be a people who share Jesus with our friends, who gossip the gospel, who demonstrate the kingdom, who take risks and take God at his word. And today I'm speaking on a parable of Jesus. And what I want to do simply is a bit of a Bible study, just unpack the passage a little bit. So if you've got a, for those under 25, you'd be excited to know that nowadays they do Bibles in books. They're not just on your phone. So if you've got one of these, you can get it out. And I'd encourage you to do that. There's some Bibles at the back if you don't have one of those. But parable of the banquet in Luke chapter 14. This is a significant moment in the life of Jesus. He's invited to the house of an incredibly influential man. He's invited to the leader of the Pharisees. Now, if you're unfamiliar with who the Pharisees are, they are the religious elite of the day. This man would have been a man of power and privilege and a man of significant position and prestige. And he's invited his friends around. Now, they've invited Jesus not just for an ordinary dinner party with a lot of fun. It is one of those awkward dinner parties. If you read the start of chapter 14, you'll notice that as well as some pointed discussion and heated moments, there's twice where Jesus asks a question and the Pharisees are silent. You ever been at a dinner party where there are awkward silences? This is one full of those. The text actually says that they've invited Jesus so they can watch him closely. This is a dinner party with an ulterior motive, and it culminates with Jesus telling a story, the parable of the banquet. And the story goes like this. There is a man throwing a party. He's invited loads of people, and the implication in the text is that everyone said yes. Everyone's RSVP'd, yes, I'm coming to the party. And the time comes for the party to begin, and as would be the custom in the day, the man would send his servant to gather those that have responded, those that have been invited, and say that the banquet has begun, we're starting, come, now is the time. But what happens? No one comes. Instead, they make excuses. They have terrible excuses. Oh, I've got a field that I need to check. I bought some oxen. I need to check on those. I've just got married. I'm not allowed to come out to play board games with you, Josh. Sorry. And no one comes to the party. So the man gets angry and instead he turns to invite a very different group of people. He sends his servant out into the town to those that don't belong, to those that are poor and forgotten and marginalized, to those that would not have presumed to be invited. The man says, go to them. So the servant does, but there's still room in the house, in the banquet, there's still room. So the man sends the servant out further and wider into the hedgerows, into the highways and the byways, the places beyond the wall of the town where there is darkness, where anything could happen. And he says, I want you to go there and I want you to bring those people in and do not stop until my house is full. It's a stunning passage, and she's been praying about it and studying it this week. And my sense for our community that the Lord might want to share with us this morning in a nutshell is this, guys, there is still room. There is still room. If you want a subtitle to my talk, there is still room. Like, we have seen God do amazing things, haven't we? The last few years, we have seen God do amazing things. I'm loving what God's doing in our church. I'm loving the growth and the people being added and the lives being changed and the stunning stories of expansive compassion and radical generosity and multiplication and opening doors and the miraculous taking place amongst us. It is so exciting. But here is what I want us to know today. There is still room. There is more to come. There are people out there which need to be in here. Do you believe that? There are people in our city who need to come home. There are people in our city hungry and thirsty for more and for Jesus, and we need to invite them in. The story of the banquet is a story for us. And here are some reflections on the story. The first thing we need to understand and know is that the kingdom of God is a banquet. The kingdom of God is a banquet, a feast, a party, a celebration. Jesus came to earth in part to begin a banquet. Now, this is a story not just about the banquet in the next life, not just about the heavenly wedding marriage feast that the Bible talks about, but this is an invitation right here, right now, into a way of life that Jesus describes as being like a banquet, a place of delight and feasting and joy and satisfaction and home. Jesus didn't come just to give us a golden ticket into heaven. He came to kickstart a banquet. He came to lay a 9-course tasting menu in front of us, where ultimately he himself is the meal. Church, in order for us to reach our city, we have to understand what we have to offer our city. There is a banquet on offer in a world and a city starving, starving for hope, starving for purpose, starving for peace, starving for joy, starving for love, in a world that is full up on fear and anxiety, where people build their own banquets, which promise much but satisfy little. There is good news available in that heaven is a banquet and everyone is invited. Amen? The kingdom isn't an exclusive club for the religious elite. It is a banquet for the hungry. And maybe you're here this morning and you are hungry and you have been wandering, searching for that thing which is going to satisfy the inner depths of your soul. You need to know Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the only one. The kingdom is a banquet for the hungry. And the only qualification to get in is that you need to realize that you're hungry and you need to come. Come to Jesus. And so what would it look like if we began to live as a church as though there was a banquet laid for our city, for those that are hungry? What would it look like if we realized that we had the thing that will truly satisfy people? If we believed that, we'd invite everyone that we know. If we believe that we have the answer, the good news of the gospel that is going to change people's lives and destinies and eternities, we would do anything we can. We would compel people to come in. So we need to remember and recognize that the kingdom is like a banquet. But here's the thing, Jesus begins the story not by focusing on those that will be in the banquet, but by those who won't. He seems to be saying that there's a lot of people that think they're living in the banquet, but are filling themselves up on other food. A lot of Christians think they're living in the banquet, but are feasting on other things. And here's the second point that Jesus is making, that not everyone that's invited will show up. The guest list in the kingdom of God will be unexpected. This is one of the tragic realities of the kingdom, is that not everyone who is invited will be there. That's what Jesus is saying, right? At the end of the text, he says, none of those that were invited originally will see the inside of the banquet. And a lot of people who think they're in will end up on the outside, and one day we'll discover they have not been in the banquet. And Jesus here is talking about the Pharisees in this context. See, the Pharisees were not far off, perfect on the outside. They ticked all the boxes, they followed the rules, they lived a morally good life, so they presumed they would be in. This conversation is kicked off by a Pharisee saying, "Blessed are those that will feast in God's kingdom." In other words, I'm so blessed. Blessed am I because I'm in. And the people that Jesus just referenced, which was the lame and the broken, the marginalized, they are out because they must have done something wrong. But blessed am I. And so that prompted Jesus to tell this story. This is what the Pharisees believed, and they hated Jesus. They hated Jesus because Jesus taught that it's more important what goes on the inside of our lives than what we do on the outside. Because how many of you know it's possible to do all the right stuff in life, but with the wrong heart? It's possible to know all the right things, to know our Bibles, to go to church every week and be far from God. It's possible, Jesus says, he's challenging in Matthew 6, to pray in such a way as to lose the reward, or give financially in such a way as to lose the reward, or fast. It's possible to do all the right stuff and still be a prodigal son and God on the outside of the banquet. So let me ask you this morning, church, asking myself all week, are we living in the banquet? Are we living? Have we responded? Are we feasting on God? Are we satisfied with his presence and his word? Because if we want to reach our city for Jesus, if we want to reach our world for Jesus, if we want to invite our city to the banquet, we first and foremost need to be feasting on the banquet ourselves. Why? Because it is impossible to invite somewhere that you've never been. It's impossible to invite your friends a place that you don't know where it is. It's impossible to invite people home if you're not living there. So are we living in the banquet? Have we responded to the kingdom life, or are we making excuses? My third reflection is that people make excuses. People make excuses. See, a lot of people say yes with their words when it comes to following Jesus in the kingdom life, but no with their lives. Jesus here isn't talking about the lost. He's talking about the church. Notice the sort of excuses that people come up with. I bought a field. I need to go and check it. I bought some oxen. I need to test them out. I got married. I can't come. Translation, I've got too much to do, Jesus. I'm sorry, this is an inconvenient time. I need to focus on my family. In other words, the banquet that I want to feast on is not the banquet of the kingdom. It's not the banquet of the way of Jesus. It's my life and my kingdom. Here's the lesson here. When the kingdom comes close, it costs us everything. If we want to be, as a church, a house of revival, a home of renewal, a place of salvation for the nations, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us everything. And there's going to be people who are going to struggle to count that cost. A lot of Christians go, "I can't actually right here, right now. I'm busy. I'm tied up. I'm unavailable." If you've got a real Bible, you'll notice the final part of Luke chapter 14 is when Jesus goes on to talk about the cost of discipleship. It's not a coincidence Luke puts these things together. The Pharisees, the people that said no, that made excuses, were unwilling to count the cost. Jesus says, unless you are willing to die to yourself, unless you're willing to die to your family and your desires, you'll always be satisfying your hunger with breadcrumbs when you were built for a banquet. You'll always be satisfying your hunger with breadcrumbs when you were built for a banquet. So, church, we need to be living in the banquet. Living in the banquet. But not only do we need to live in the banquet, we need to live beyond the banquet. We need to live beyond the banquet for the broken. The banquet of the kingdom is not just so that we have an amazing time. It's not just so that we have our beautiful church with wonderful worship and we sit in here and we receive from God. The purpose of this is that we get filled up and then propelled out. That we come to places, moments like this, and we experience and encounter the joy of the Lord and the presence of God, and we get so full up that Monday morning, we cannot help but be overflowing the Spirit of God and the power of God and the invitation of God to a broken and hurting world that so desperately need Jesus. It's a place where we can experience God, that we can go out into the world and invite people, and we can say, come and see, come and experience the hunger that you've got, the pain, the anxiety, the struggle, all those longings of your soul, I know someone that can help. The master of the banquet, Jesus Christ, come to him. You see, when we're living in the banquet, when we're living for Jesus, when we're walking with Jesus, when we're receiving from Jesus, when we're being filled by Jesus, when we're worshiping Jesus, everywhere we go, we will overflow Jesus. John, a senior pastor, used an analogy many times that I just love. It's like when you go for drinks with friends or to a party or whatever, and you get a pint of something, a pint of Diet Coke. It's full when it comes from the bar. And you imagine you're in a crowded room. You walk through the crowded room. People bump into you. And you spill a little bit of Coke here and a little bit of Coke there. It's the idea we get so full of Jesus that people bump into us, difficult people. How many of you have difficult people in your life? If you not put your hand up, you're one of those people, okay? And most of us respond badly when people bump into us. And I would suggest it's because what's coming out of us is the empty bits of ourselves. Whereas when we're full of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and living in God's word, people bump into us and knock us. And what happens? We just overflow Jesus. It's an opportunity to love. It's an opportunity to bless those that are really annoying. It's an opportunity to be Jesus to our world. And as we do that, people say there's something different about you. What's the deal? Something different about you. Remember when I was at university, I'd go to night, well, not in my first year. I was a bit of an absolute prodigal in my first year. There's some terrible things. But in my second and third years, particularly after John Clark had showered at me. No, not really. That was a joke. I went to nightclubs and I wouldn't drink. I'll maybe take two very small drinks. And people would come up to me because I'd be the only sober one in the nightclub and say, what's the difference? What's something about you? And I'd have opportunities to pray for people. Remember one time there was a guy that I'm pretty sure he was manifesting a demon in a nightclub. And the friends around didn't know what to do. And they came to me and they said, what do we do? And these were all atheists. And I said, well, there's only one thing we can do. And this girl goes, what is it? And I said, well, you're not going to like it. And she goes, well, tell me, I'll do anything. I said, we can pray for him. She goes, okay, let's try it. So right there in the middle of the nightclub, we bowed our heads and we began to pray. It was a beautiful moment. And the reality is that only came from me saying, do you know what, Jesus, tonight as I go into this dark place, I am going to give you everything. I'm going to refuse to compromise. I'm going to be filled up with the Holy Spirit and I'm going to live on mission. So we've got to live in the banquet, but move beyond the banquet. Jesus says, particularly go to those that are broken. He says this, go out quickly into the streets and the alleyways of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. The kingdom of God, guys, exists to be filled with people who don't seem to belong there, who have nothing to offer, who couldn't have possibly earned their way into the kingdom. And we are called to go to those people, which is why we're so passionate about our compassion ministries. This is what we're doing. I heard this amazing story from CMA, our debt advice center this week that are restoring people's dignity and hope and bringing people from just the pit into financial freedom and whole life freedom. This is the story. Margaret, and the name's been changed, approached CMA in late 2020. Margaret had not been able to work due to a severe doubt of depression that had started in earlier part of the year. She was in receipt of benefits. She had not been eating properly for several months, was unable to leave her house due to her mental anxiety. She had no family support in the area as she originated from Ireland. Her benefit support was minimal. She had debts that she couldn't pay and she had just £11 left each week for food. To add to this situation, she disclosed to us that she was suicidal. There was no heating on in her house. She was scared to death to use it following the energy price rises. So we helped. We helped to contact mental health support as a priority. We started to look into her debts and benefits entitlements. We acted as an advocate for her. As she had lost any ability to deal with the day-to-day things that we take for granted, we accompanied her when she went to a workplace assessment in January, which she was so anxious about. And as a direct result of this, her benefit award doubled. She was awarded 3 months back pay too, which enabled her to start addressing her debts. In parallel to this, she accessed mental health support, started receiving improved treatment. We've continued to support Margaret throughout this time, and the result is that after 7 months, she is in a much better place, both financially and emotionally. She started to smile again. She has a future, and she has hope. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So the people in the story that were invited originally make excuses. And what the man doesn't say to his servant is, well, go and ask them again. Go and beg them and cajole them and harass them to come. He doesn't say that. What he says is, I want you to go. Go out. Go to the people that you would least expect at a king's banquet. Go to the broken and the marginalized and the forgotten. Those that would jump at the chance to be invited. Those that have been overlooked and ignored in life. Those that have been abandoned and abused. Those that have been discounted and disregarded and downtrodden and discouraged. Go to those that on their own merit would never get through the doors of the king's palace and bring them in. And church, this is the heart of God. Jesus is showing us a glimpse into the heart of God. And to the Pharisees, this is scandalous. It's unthinkable that those outside would be invited in, but this is the gospel. This is the gospel. There is a banquet laid where God himself will satisfy every desire you've ever experienced. The hunger in your heart will finally find its home. Good deeds can't get you in. The only qualifier, the only thing that gets you into the banquet of God is an invitation in your hand marked by the blood of the Lamb. And here's the crazy thing. Once you're in, Jesus calls you to be the servant that goes. Every single one of us, those that follow Jesus, are called to go out beyond the walls of the banquet into our city, to those that are hungry, to those that are struggling, and invite them to come and taste and see that God is good. Verse 22 says this, "Sir," the servant says, "what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room." There is still room. There is still room. And this is really the closing point that I want to share today, is that God is insatiable. God is insatiable. His heart for the lost is unquenching. He is relentless in his pursuit of those that are far away. Why? Because there is still room. And if there's room in the house of God, then God's not done. And church, there is room in this house. And God is looking for a people who will step into his mission and into his adventure to go out beyond the walls of the banquet and invite people home. So let me say, who is there in your world that you can invite home? Who are people in your town? Those that are around you, those that are your neighbors, those that you have conversations with, those that are struggling. Who, if you had eyes to see, who could God be inviting you to reach and bless and invite and offer to pray? It doesn't start necessarily with, say, would let me lead you to Jesus. It starts simply with often friendship and food and an invitation to the summer fun day and an offer to pray. But then who are the people in the highways and the byways, those beyond the comfort zones, those that often marked by places of danger and darkness? God is calling us to go to those places too. That's where the treasure is. People are treasure. Notice the language of urgency. The master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. Now imagine what the banquet would have looked like when you have got a house full of hungry, broken people and people that would have been living in the roads and the country lanes out in a place of darkness. Let me say, it would have been a place of mess. It would have been a place of discomfort. As we continue to grow, this place is going to change. We're going to see people that are very different from us, those that we wouldn't have expected to be in the house of God. But let me say, when that happens, we must celebrate and we must rejoice and we must go after them all the more. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.